This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
For all voices, this is Joy.
We're in the last half an hour, Macca, this morning. Of our wonderful guest list, and we've got another illustrious guest
we haven't
on the phone.
How about you introduce them?
Shall I?
Yeah, you introduce.
Okay, so we're going to be talking to our next guest, which is Chris Cristoforo, who is the CEO of the Victorian Alcohol and Drug Association. Good morning, Chris. Thanks for joining us on Saturday Magazine.
Good morning. Thanks for inviting me on.
It's a pleasure. Now, Chris, the Victorian government finally released its decision not to go ahead with a second medically supervised injecting facility. I'm struggling with that decision because the first facility in Richmond has been very successful in terms of meeting its objective, but also it's achieved a whole lot of other aims in terms of the health and welfare of a lot of the people that have visited there, you know, facilitating extra appointments and extra treatment. So not just people whose lives have been saved from injecting in a safe environment, but some other health issues they've had. So the government's decided not to open a second facility. Why? Do they want people to keep dying?
Well, that's an interesting question. I think from our perspective, it's really the opportunity and the policy to actually open a second facility in the CBD probably was, you know, poisoned by a lot of the negativity, stigma, fear that was generated around it, and you know. And that's a really sad outcome because, as you said, it's the consequences of dire for those that are, particularly for those that are injecting drug users that live in or frequent the CBD. And the stats tell us that, you know, last year alone there were 24 people that, in 2022 there were 24 people that overdosed in the CBD alone. So, you know, I don't think the decision to not proceed will change that. In fact, it just continues to create that risk. So it was a sad day on Tuesday, and particularly for all those people that have advocated for it for a long, long time.
So, you know, we acknowledge, Chris, that locating this facility was one of the biggest challenges, and, you know, campaigns that were run against it being located in the CBD. Finding a location was clearly a challenge.
Well, finding a location that everyone agreed on.
That everyone agreed on. But if there isn't the political will to actually establish a second one, then the search for a location is a bit pointless, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that's right. I mean, it takes courage to implement reform, to make decisions that that, you know, shift the focus from a deterrence model to a harm reduction health led approach. I mean, I think that whole sort of, you know, cycle of, you know, should it be near the Victorian market, should it be top end of Bourke Street, should it be on Flinders Street? I mean, really, it's a moot point because at the end of the day, you know, people are still sleeping rough in the CBD. People are still injecting. There are plenty of injecting drug users in the city, and you know, the sad reality is that they're not being provided with a safe, supported space to deal with their dependence issues. So again, it's you know, the issue isn't going to go away just because there's been a decision made not to proceed. So, you know, so for all those traders, you know, there'll still be people sleeping rough in their doorways. So that's the sad reality.
So, Chris, let's look at the government has proposed a raft of initiatives and funding around the state, you know, to, well, not to provide an injecting facility, but provide a whole lot of services or access to some services. Can you run through what they are and tell us how effective you think that is going to be? I'm not saying it's not going to be have some impact, but can you tell us what those services are and how you think they're going to, are they actually going to make a difference, or is it just virtue signalling?
No, I think some of the announcements that have been made are certainly a positive step forward. There are concerns that, you know, some of the initiatives won't really come into effect till 2026, which is quite a while away. But I think the main sort of step forward is to create a community health hub at Flinders Street and also up at the top end of Bourke Street. So, you know, the more health-led services, outreach services that are available are a good thing. I think that's certainly the big announcement, where the big announcements are. But I think for VADA in particular, the decision to try to address opioid replacement therapies and invest in a grants program to fund services across the state to enhance their ability to meet demand. I think that's a good step forward from our perspective, because there's been a reliance on an opt-in model of GPs funded through Medicare to provide that service, and what the experience has been is it's been quite fragile and quite tenuous, and it's been reliant on a small pool of prescribing GPs. Yes. Needing to support people. So I think that's a positive
step. I think, you know, I understand the concerns residents and businesses have, but the problem of people injecting in the CBD is not going to go away. Doing it in an unsafe environment, it's not going to go away by some of these measures. So I sort of struggle with the rationale as to, no, we won't do that, but we'll do this. You know, clearly we need to do something. Is there, do you think the argument or the case for a second injecting facility, not clearly been lost in the CBD, but somewhere else? Chris, do you think, you know, there's an opportunity? It has to be accessible, doesn't it? It has to be, you know, where people can get to it, and where, and, you know, so putting it in an industrial estate somewhere in the West, if it's not going to work, is it?
No, that's right. And sort of, you know, the evidence is that it's best to locate it where there is a high prevalence of abuse, and when there is a high risk of overdose. So, we're not going to be walking away, and I'm sure there's plenty of other advocates out there that are not going to be walking away from continuing advocacy on the need for a safe injecting facility in the CBD, as we would for other sort of high risk areas in across metropolitan Melbourne and in regional Victoria too. So, I think that the advocacy will continue. It should be part of a suite of measures to reduce drug harm. We're particularly concerned about the potent synthetic opioids making an appearance in the local drug market, and really kind of, you know, that sort of, you know, worst case scenario of the catastrophic consequences that have been experienced in other countries, certainly in North America, but increasingly in Europe too. So I think, you know, these sorts of harm reduction measures like supervised injecting facilities have got to be part of a mix of that, of an approach to a problem of that size and scale.
And Christian, we often talk about, we've talked about the injecting rooms here at Joy, but one of the things that I found most heartwarming.
Not at Joy.
Sorry. But, yeah. On air. Was one of the comforting things was the amount of add-on services.
Yes.
That were given to people who use the safe injecting rooms, which I think was almost as equally as valuable as, you know, not only saving the lives, but giving a quality of life post leaving the facility. So I think that's one of the things that, you know, I think will be sorely missed and therefore is you know, badly needed still in the CBD.
Absolutely. Yeah, look, you know, it's a phenomenal service that's operating out of North Richmond, and I guess that is the saving grace, is that, you know, that won't be going, and there's a new consortium leading that or running that service led by North Richmond Community Health. So, you know, that's definitely a bit of a positive. And yeah, I mean, the number of people that use that service, the complexity of their needs. I mean, it is an amazing service, and it's just sad that, you know, it's kind of been the opportunity to sort of provide a similar sort of whole of health service in other locations has been stymied for the time being.
I'm sure you won't give up the advocacy, Chris. You know, yourself, your organisation, and lots of other people. I think it's a shame, but it's also a tragedy that there won't be a second facility. And as I said, I acknowledge locating it where you locate it is, you know, it's pretty difficult. I get that, but you don't solve that problem by simply saying, "Oh well, it's too difficult to locate, so we actually won't have one, and we'll do these other things," which have benefits and do add, you know, some useful improvements to the challenges we have. But do you think the case for a second facility is lost forever? Clearly in the CBD it's going to be pretty hard, but somewhere else, do you think it's lost forever?
No, as I was saying, I reckon that it's going to have to be part of the part of the policy mix going forward. I mean,
yeah.
It was in the late 1990s when we were at the height of a heroin epidemic here in Melbourne. You know, the then Labor Party opposition were proposing 5 safe injecting facilities.
Yes, I
across,
remember that. Yep.
You know, so it's not, this isn't a new idea. It's actually, you know, and sadly for them at the time when they came into power, they had an upper house that wasn't supportive of it. But, you know, so this isn't a new idea. It's really, you know, an established harm reduction measure. So, you know, it won't be going anywhere. It's got to remain part of the mix going forward.
Thanks, Sam. Thanks for your work.
Thanks, Chris.
Sorry, God. I'm looking at Sam.
Chris, thank you. And, you know, we really do appreciate you coming on, but also, you know, for all the work you've done in advocating, you know, I think you know where our heads are at on this
subject.
Don't give
up. Don't give up.
Yeah, it's a worthwhile fight for all those people who need those services badly.
Yeah. No worries. Thanks, Macker and Paul.
Cheers. Are on Saturday Magazine Joy 94.9. When we come back, we are going to be speaking with Sam. So thanks, Chris, for your time. Stay with us.
Saturday Magazine.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.